What a joy to be back with you on this media. So sad we cannot come together in church at the moment, but what a privilege to have this media. And it's such a joy for me to be back from leave, rested and full of excitement and expectation for what God is going to do this year. I know COVID has been a problem and it's caused a lot of trouble in the sense of us gathering together and doing a lot of things for God. But that shouldn't hinder our passion and our love for Jesus. So welcome everybody. Welcome to this platform. Welcome to the service. I believe it will encourage you, the sermon. I believe God is going to do an amazing work in each one of our lives today. So it's a joy for me to share the word again. I just thank the guys that shared the word with me, Ian and Eddie, while I was away on leave. But may you just rest in the goodness of God. Welcome. So good. May this year be a great, prosperous, blessed year for you. Today, before I open up with prayer, I just want to lay in the title of what I'm going to share with you. Today I'm talking about forward and onward. That's our theme. I spoke about that in our Old Year's Eve service, going forward and onward. And today I want to talk to you about forward and onward without giving in to discouragement. Without giving in to discouragement. There are so many people I know watching right now who are sitting, they're looking at me, and in your heart, you're terribly discouraged. I really believe this will help you to get out of that hole that the enemy is trying to keep you in. Come, let us just surrender these few moments to our Heavenly Daddy. Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit is the one who ministers. I might be the voice piece, but Lord, I pray that everything I say will, that you would use and speak into the hearts of your children. Lord, what I speak that is from my heart, I want to pray that people won't hear that. But what I speak that is from the heart of God, people will hear it clearly. I thank you for each one that is tuned in today. May your favor rest upon them. May change come into every home in Jesus' name. I just want to say this. You can put your YouTube on pause or wherever you're watching. We're going to do communion again. And so I want you to get together with a family and sit around and have communion together. Dads, get your kiddies around you and let's start practicing and doing communion in our homes. We do this so little, and with our separation and not being able to do church, this tends to be a problem. But I will share a little bit on communion at the end of my word. So I want to talk to you today about forward and onward without giving in to discouragement. You know, Billy Graham said something so powerfully, and this is so relevant for every single one of our lives, and I'm sure this will find a place of affinity in your own heart. He says, the Christian life is not a constant high and hello. We all know that very, very well, don't we? The Christian life is not a constant high. He said we have moments of deep discouragement. Does that ring a bell with you? Are there moments when you've had or maybe going through deep discouragement? He says, I've got to go to God in prayer with tears in my eyes. And sometimes that's the great thing we need to do. And there's the key thing. Many people, when they're in discouragement, they run away from God. Now, when you're in deep discouragement, you run towards God with tears. Listen to that. With tears. And you need to say to God, he says, and I say to God, oh God, forgive me. Oh God, help me. You see, oh God, forgive me, I've messed up. Oh God, I've done something I shouldn't have done. Help me, I'm discouraged because of what I've done. Oh Lord, help me, I'm in a hole, I'm in a problem that I didn't even create for myself, but because of circumstances, I'm in a hole. And Lord, I'm deeply discouraged, so I come to you. And you know, God hears prayer and prayers, and God answers prayers. I know this, that faith must always pass the test of discouragement. I don't care who you are, what you say you believe. And I find this in this day and age, we can always give somebody a scripture. It's easy. It's easy to give somebody encouragement. It's easy to say to somebody, just have faith in God. But I tell you something, when the chips are down for you, do you really believe what you're busy speaking and saying to other people? I'll read a little bit about that in a moment. In Job's life, that very thing happened. But the Hebrew writer writes this to encourage the church. And I hope you will be encouraged by this. He says, consider him. And he's talking about Jesus here. Consider him who endures such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In other words, that you will not become discouraged. Consider him, Jesus, for what he went through. Today we're going to have communion. And we're going to remember once again what Jesus went through. And he lived a courageous life. Whenever the enemy wanted to connect, to dis, put that dis onto the courage and dis, make him discouraged, Jesus proclaimed the word and he walked with courage. And that's what God wants you and I to do today. And so the reason I want to talk about discouragement is something that whilst on holiday, lying at the pool, just meditating on this stuff with my earphones in and just talking to the Lord and just considering the church and considering you precious people. My heart was longing for the people and my heart longs for the people to walk in a deep, intimate, wonderful way with God. And somehow, like Paul said, I greatly fear that you've lost. Many have lost it. Many are not where they should be. And I thought to myself, God, what is it? And it's just almost the Lord dropped it in my spirit. It's because my church is discouraged at the moment. And that's what God said to me, because there's nothing that will kill your joy and your passion and your enthusiasm for Jesus like discouragement. So if you're battling with discouragement, I believe with all of my heart, if you will take these words that you're going to hear on this media today, by this sermon that I'm giving you, I believe if you begin to put to practice the faith that you say you have, the word that you say you believe in, if you begin to put to practice, I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that you'll begin to live a different life. You'll begin to live a courageous life. May God bless you today. We must make commitments to change and to apply God's word into our lives. I mean, yes, such a great lesson for each and every one of us. We know Job was this fantastic guy and he was a praying guy and he loved the Lord. And we know all the drama that took hold of Job. And so, yeah, Job's really on the planks. He's like almost like knocked out with everything that has happened to him. And so his friends come and talk to him and listen to what they say to him. And I want you to relate. You can relate to what I'm about to tell you. Job 4, verse 4 through 6. He says, "Your words, Job, have supported those who have stumbled. You have strengthened the faltering knees. You, Job, have been a man that has encouraged us. You, Job, gave us a word from God. You, Job, lived this life that was so enthusiastic. And when people looked at you, they thought, wow, man, we can also do this." This is the kind of man that Job was. And they're reminding him of it. Now listen to what they say. "But now, Job, trouble comes to you. And you now, Job, are discouraged. It strikes you and you are dismayed." Yes, on stealth, Job. He says, you are dismayed, Job. Now listen to these powerful words. And they're reminding Job of something of you. And I want to remind you of this today when you're in a discouraged hole. It's lacquer to encourage people. It's lovely to give everybody scriptures. But now there's drama in your life. There's difficulty in your life. There's hardship in your life. There's adversity you're facing right now. What about you? And then this is the word they say to him. They said to him, "Should not, Job, should not your piety..." That beautiful word, piety, "be your confidence and your blameless ways, your hope." Two things he says over there. He says, "Should not your piety..." Thy piety beteken say vroomheid. In other words, piety means it is your generous love and obedience for God. It's the way you live in humility. He says, "Job, shouldn't your love for God, the way you live, the Jesus you believe in, should not that be the thing that lifts you out of discouragement? Should that not be the thing that carries you?" And you can see, yes, the problem with so many of us Christians, when we eat discouragement, we fall apart. When we have adversity and hardships in our lives, we stop praying. We stop doing a lot of stuff. And I want to talk to you about that. He says, "Should not your piety be your confidence?" That's the first thing, your piety. "And your blameless ways, your hope." You see, our blameless ways become our hope when we're following Jesus as we should follow Jesus. And that's how we should. I would say that discouragement, quite honestly, discouragement is probably one of Satan's greatest attacks on the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, on our lives. You've heard me tell the story before when the devil was getting rid of stuff that really didn't work on Christians because we were victorious all the time and they were just walking through victory whenever they used this. And so they were throwing out these old toys that the devil was using on us, tools to mess us up. And so this little demon was throwing out this stuff and he got to this wedge-shaped little thing and it had discouragement written on it. And he threw it away, and the devil clapped him on the ear, and he brought it back. He says, put it in this box, because that thing is one of the few things that really work on all Christians. Because the moment we take our eyes off Jesus, the moment you begin to focus, listen to me, you begin to focus on your problems, this is what happens. Discouragement begins to creep in, and we begin to open a door. And that little wedge shape, he stuffs it in the door, and he begins to knock, and he begins to knock, and he begins to knock. And you know what happens when you can't close the door, and that thing goes in deeper and deeper. The wider the door, the more we open up our hearts, the more the enemy will creep in. That's why Paul, when he spoke to the Colossians church, he said in Colossians 3 verse 2, these words, set your mind and your things where? Above, not on the earthly things. You see, when you're feeling discouragement and you're feeling disconnected from courage, then he says, set your mind on the things above, the place where you get your strength, the place from where God wants to bless you and bless your life. Proverbs 4 verse 25 gives the same advice. He says, let your heart look straight ahead of you. Fix your gaze directly before you. Do not take your focus off the Lord Jesus Christ, because the devil knows that when discouragement comes, it does things when you walk around with discouragement. I've seen it so many times in so many people's lives. When they're discouraged, it results in sin. It results in people going astray. And just listen to this. You become spiritually drained, and it's harder for you to pray when you're in a hole filled with discouragement. You stop seeking God. You become grumpy. You become miserable. You stop reading your Bible. And that's exactly what the devil wants from you. He wants to plant seeds of doubt into your life. And that's exactly where he wants you to be. He'll just keep putting that wedge-shaped thing called discouragement. He'll keep knocking it into your life. That's why exactly what he wants to do, Satan. Listen, there are signs of discouragement. I want to give you six of them today quickly. Six signs of discouragement, and I pray as you hear them, wonder, okay, I'm discouraged. Can these be the reasons why I'm sitting here so discouraged, or why discouragement takes hold of my life so easily? And so number one is an attitude of ingratitude, an ondankbare gesindheid. That's what that really means, an unthankful attitude. Listen, the seeds of discouragement will not grow in a thankful heart. You can check anybody. When you wake up with thanks, when you think thanks, when you think of the good things, when you think of the blessings of the God, when you look at what you, not what you don't have, but you look at what you have. Because so many people get discouraged to look at what they don't have, but stop for a moment and look what you do have. Begin to thank God for what you do have. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, not for the circumstances. Oh Lord, I thank you for the fact that I'm broke. Oh Lord, I thank you for the fact that I'm sick. No, he's not saying that. He says, thank him in all the circumstances. While I'm in the sickness, while I'm in the need, while I'm in financial difficulty, when I'm going through deep place of discouragement. Lord, I give thanks to you for the circumstances that I'm in. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What is God's will for you? Then we will be thankful. Discouragement, it'll always lead, and I've seen it, it's a truth. It leads to selfishness. It leads to, it's all about me. Israel has such a wonderful history to express and explain this thing, how they become discouraged and so incredibly ungrateful. In the book of Numbers, just listen to these words. I mean, this is actually quite disgraceful. When you think of what God did, the plagues God brought, nothing touched them. When they left and the death angel came, when they painted blood on the doorpost of their heart, none of their kids died. And all the Egyptians little babies died. They'd seen God open the Red Sea. They walked through the Red Sea. They saw their clothing growing on them. God fed them every day. Now listen to this. And all the Israelites grumbled. Oh, God, that's a grumbler, eh? They all grumbled against Moses, against their leaders and Aaron. And the whole assembly said to them, listen, the whole assembly, please hear this. If only we had died in Egypt or in the wilderness, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and our children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to slavery. They wanted to go back to bondage. Can I tell you what? Discouragement will do exactly the same for you. I've seen people backslide. I've seen people become lukewarm. I've seen them suffering when the favor and the blessing of God was on their life. Today, they're suckling. They're suckling in life. They're suckling financially. They're suckling emotionally. Their lives are in a mess. They're hitting the bottle. They're taking drugs because they have left. They wanted to go back to Egypt. Jesus has taken us out of it. If these people were just thanking God and thankful every day, what more would God have not done for them? That's God's response to Israel in Numbers 14, verse 11 and 12. He says, the Lord says to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? That's the question God would ask you today. How long will you keep treating me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me, have faith in me, to trust me, man? You have my word. You've seen the miracles in your life, in spite of all the signs that I've, and things that I've performed among them. He says, I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them, but I will make you a nation greater and stronger than they. For people that are willing, God is willing. Let us open our hearts. It's when discouragement is allowed to set into our lives. I've seen this so many times. We begin to forget all that God has done for us in the past, and we become ungrateful. We forget the goodness of God. So number one, we need to be realizing every day that we cannot live with an attitude of ingratitude, because discouragement will cause that. And if that's you, if you're unthankful, let me tell you something. I can guarantee you'll be living a life that is filled with discouragement. The second one I want to talk to you about is a critical fault-finding attitude. I've seen this. Discouragement brings this into people. When people are discouraged and things are not going their way, the discouraged person battles to say anything positive or anything good. You find that begins to happen to a person's life that's living in discouragement. All they ever want to do is to criticize. All they want to ever do is complain about stuff. They want to find fault. They're always judgmental, people that are living in discouragement. It is a true. We've become careless with our tongue. I've seen that too. People are ungrateful and they just talk with their tongue. They become critical. They have a critical attitude. They're discouraging. Want everybody to be miserable. They want everybody to be miserable. They want everybody to be unhappy around them. I just want to remind you of this today. God dislikes murmuring people or grumblers. That's what he said in his word. So discouragement will cause you to have an attitude of ingratitude, and that causes discouragement. And secondly, a critical fault-finding attitude will cause you to walk in discouragement. Thirdly, discouragement leads to doubt and unbelief. You better believe it. When that wedge-shaped little thing, the devil comes, when he gets his foot in the door, he just begins to bang, because he wants you to walk in unbelief. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6 says it. And he wants you to go into doubt. When discouragement sets in, it leaves us temporarily blind to the many truths of God's word. We begin to lose sight of God's goodness. We begin to lose sight of God's kindness, of God's love, God's generosity, the things we once believed in, the things we were passionate about, the things we were so enthusiastic and living about yesterday. Today, we're living in doubt and unbelief over that very, very stuff. Isn't what happened to John the Baptist when he was put into prison? He called his disciples and said, go and ask Jesus, are you the real Jesus? This is after walking with Jesus and knowing Jesus and confessing Jesus. He wasn't too sure. You see what discouragement did to John in that prison. Be careful of discouragement. Why am I bringing the sermon on discouragement? It's to encourage you to not be discouraged as we move forward and onward in the call of God in our lives. And number four, discouragement leads to a weak watch against temptation. Please hear this. A discouraged person gets to a point where they couldn't care less. They couldn't care less if they swear. They couldn't care less if they say what they want to say. They're critical, I've said. They're judgmental. They couldn't care less. Let me tell you, you've got to watch over temptation. The Bible warns us, and it says 1 Peter 5, verse 8. He says, be careful. Watch out for the attacks of Satan. Your great enemy. He's our great enemy. Watch out for his attacks. He wants to discourage you. He's got that little wedge-shaped thing, and he's after you. He prowls around like a hungry lion looking for some victim to tear apart or somebody that he can just discourage. Because when he's got you discouraged, he's got you. And we let our guard down when we're upset with life. May God help us not to be weak in times of temptation. And number five, discouragement leads to giving up. God knows, I've seen this throughout the ministry, throughout church. People that were once enthusiastic, not serving the Lord today, still having the odd little prayer and read the Bible and say they believe, but there's no communication, there's no fellowship. It's just tragic. Listen, discouragement leads to giving up. If you allow discouragement to continue and to continue your life, listen, it'll suck the energy and the passion right out of your life. That's why Paul had to remind the Galatians church in Galatians 6 verse 9. And he said, let us not become weary. In other words, let us not become discouraged in doing what? In doing good. Because you see, when you're discouraged, you don't want to do good. He says, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Discouragement causes us to give up. We give up reading the word. We give up praying when we're discouraged. We give up coming to church. We give up coming onto this media. And there's such a terrible thing. We cannot gather a church. And I see it. I see the people don't even switch onto the media. I can see it in the numbers that watch the sermons every Sunday. And I said it before, we don't do this to entertain you, to give you something to do. No, no. We give you a word from God for your heart so that you can walk a more successful life, a non-courageous life. Disconnect that dis from courage and walk a courageous life is what God wants for your life and for my life. Listen, we give up reading the word. If we give up feeding our spiritual lives when we continue to walk around with discouragement. And number six, the last one, and this is so tragic, and this is the truth. Discouragement leads to becoming a discourager. So when you're a discouraged person, you know what happens? Your spirit, your actions, your attitude, your unthankfulness, you're not walking in love, you're not watching temptation, all of this stuff, you become an influence, listen, you become a key tool in the enemy's hands to use you to knock those wedges into other people's lives as well. Instead of being an encourager, instead of being a motivator, instead of speaking words of joy and words of comfort to people, listen to me, we become ungrateful. We become critical and negative. We show doubt and unbelief. We reflect a poor example by giving in to temptation. Listen, we lose our testimony and we just give up. May God help us. I hope in all six of these, maybe you want to go and read them again or go and listen to them again. Listen to the word. And if you go onto our website, you can find this sermon will be there and you can take it and you can read it for yourself. May God help us to be courageous Christians and not wimpy Christians, not discouraged Christians. And as I've said, and I'll close off with that too, but God has called us to move forward and onwards without being discouraged. You see, Hebrews 3 verse 17. I just want to read this to you. He says, beware then, beware then. There is a warning in that. Beware then of your own heart. Whose heart? Your heart. Not your brothers, your sisters, or your own heart, dear brothers. Lest you find that they too are evil and unbelieving and are leading you away from the living God. Discouragement will lead you away from the living God. Speak to each other about these things every day while there is still time so that none of you will become hardened against God. Being blinded and with the glamour of sin, that's exactly what discouragement will do. We draw away from people. We're angry with people. We find fault. I've said it how many times? When you see the triple C rising up in your life, just know this. You're not in a good place. You're not in a good place when you criticize, complain, and condemn. Any of those things. You're busy with that stuff. You're finding fault with people. Jesus says we must love one another. We must walk in tolerance with one another. And I'm telling you, if you're not doing that, there's something wrong in your spiritual life. There's something that you're discouraged about. Please hear this. I found it's no one else's job to keep my spirit up and filled with courage. Yes, these sermons help you, and it's important, and God says we must share His word and we must teach out of His word. And we have to have fellowship with our brothers and sisters. That's also important. When there's home cells on Zoom, make time to get together. Make time to see one another. Apply the correct protocols, but please make time, because you see, all of those things are good for us. But the only one that can encourage you, the only one that can motivate you is you yourself to walk as a courageous Christian. I want to close off with a scripture before we take communion. 1 Samuel 30 verse 6. A tragedy happens. The enemy comes and steals and takes away and robs the family and takes all of their stuff away. And David and them come back from war and they arrive and everybody's been taken. So David was greatly distressed when he saw this because the people spoke, his own people spoke of stoning him. You see, they got discouraged. They were hurt when they looked at this lot. And so what do? They look at David. They wanted to snuggle stone David. They wanted to kill David, their great king, who they were so proud of. They wanted to stone him. It's amazing how we can go from wanting to hug somebody to stabbing them in the back, eh? Because the soul of the people were grieved. They were discouraged. And every man for his son and his daughters. But please hear this, and this is my encouragement to you. Do what David did. David did this. He encouraged himself in the Lord. May God help us. Oh, discouragement, that little wedge-shaped instrument, kick it out the door and close the door. Listen, moving forward, moving onward with the call of God in our lives without giving in to discouragement. Yes, will discouragement come? Yes, it will. But my friend, you don't have to camp out in the camping grounds of discouragement. Walk out courageous and bold. Kick the door down. Tell the enemy to get behind you, Satan, and just begin to walk a victorious life. May God bless this wonderful word to your and to my heart because it affects every one of us. Let's live courageous. As the Lord said in Jeremiah 1 verse 9 to Joshua, where he said to Joshua in Joshua 1 verse 9, he said to Joshua, be strong and courageous, Joshua. Why? Because I'll be with you. Praise be to God. And here's the wonderful promise as we go into communion today. Yeah, we take the communion elements and just surround yourself. I trust you got your elements together. If not, just pause this and then come back and play. But we're going to take communion together today. And I just want to read to you. You know, because we can't gather and have communion like this, we must realize that we are the church and the Holy Spirit lives in us. So you can have communion as much as you want to have communion. So I just want to read to you out of God's word here from 1 Corinthians 11, from verse 24 onwards. He says, and when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and he said, take, eat. This is my body, Jesus said it, which is broken for you. Do this to call me affectionately to remembrance. When we do that, we take the bread, we break the bread, and he says, when we break the bread, we call him affectionately to remembrance. And then he says, in a similar way, when the supper was ended, he took the cup. He took this beautiful cup. And then he said this. He took the cup saying, this is the cup in the new covenant, ratified and established in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it to call me affectionately to remembrance. Jesus is calling you and me to remembrance. Listen to this. And then he says, for every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, that's what we're going to do now. You are representing and you are signifying something and you are proclaiming something of the fact of the Lord's death until he comes again. What an incredible promise from our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, communion is more than simply remembering. Jesus says we must remember. What is Jesus actually saying when he said this? He says, do this. When he said, do this, what was he actually saying? He was asking you and I also to do what he was doing. And what was Jesus doing? You know, this is such a powerful scripture in Matthew 14, verse 27. Listen to these beautiful words. And this is while they were on the water and on the sea. And the sea was getting rough and they woke Jesus up. But this is what Jesus did. But instantly, he spoke to them and he's saying this. Listen to these words. They were in fear. They were in discouragement. They were looking at the sea. They thought they're going to die and drown. But this is what he says. Take courage. And then here's the words. Capital letters written in the Word of God. I am. Who is God? I am. He says to Moses, go and tell that Pharaoh, I am sent you. There is only one I am, and it's the I am living in you today. The one that lives in you makes you courageous. Why? Because he died on the cross. His body was broken and his blood was shed so that you and I can walk a courageous life. He says, take courage. I am. Stop being afraid. I'm there to encourage you today. Stop being afraid. Father, we thank you for what you did on the cross, that we can have a sermon like this, Lord, and we can know that we don't have to give into discouragement, no matter what we are going through, no matter what the hardship is, because we can live a courageous life because of what you did. So today we take your body that was broken, which enables me, Lord, and each and every one of my listeners to walk a courageous life. We rebuke discouragement, the spirit of discouragement, that little wedge-shaped thing the enemy uses. I kick it out of every life listening to me today in the name of Jesus, as we take the victor. His name is Jesus, his body that was broken for us. Come, let us take and eat. Thank you, Lord, for your body that was broken for us so that we can be whole. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And in the same way, Jesus took the cup of the new covenant. It cost him his life. His blood poured out of him for you and I. So as we remember our wonderful Savior Jesus, we take and drink. Let's drink. What a privilege, Father, to know that we serve a Savior who's not dead in a grave, but he's alive. And because you're alive and the Holy Spirit lives in us, we are more than overcomers. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We thank you for that today. Lord, I bless each and every listener today. May the anointing of Jesus rest strongly on every listener today. And may the heart of discouragement, may that disc of discouragement be loosened in Jesus' name. And I see a courageous army standing up and be effective in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. God bless you. We love you. We miss you. And we look forward to coming together again soon. God bless. Bye.